Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sumia, and I'm here with you for Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, our ministry name is New Beginnings Ministry, and we welcome you to our Bible study and discussion this evening. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. faithfully every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we have the pleasure of hosting ministers from around the country that come in and share with us. Tonight we have a special treat. We will have Minister John Gary with us this, James Gary with us this evening. My husband is John Clay. James Gary is my cousin, praise the Lord, and he is also the director of ESL Ministries in New Jersey. ESL stands for Equipped for Life Ministry. Today's lesson from the Equipped for Life, Seven Foundational Keys for New Believers Study Series, written by Reverend Dr. Pastor Thomas Kinnat, and he is also the New Jersey District Superintendent for the Assemblies of God. This is the fifth of seven principles upon which we have studied that James Gary has walked us through to build a solid foundation for our lives in Christ. I hope that you've had an opportunity to look up some of the scripture that he'll be going through. I won't go through it because I know that he'll be announcing the scriptures he's using as we proceed. The title of our message this evening is Pleasing God Through a Holy Life, a Biblical Look at Righteousness. Now, before I turn the mic over to Minister Gary, I want to remind you that all of our teaching are in our archives library. All you have to do is go to the Blog Talk Radio site, look up New Beginnings Ministry. You'll see the eagle there and a handsome picture of my husband. And then you can go through the library. I can't believe, I've went through it, but how many, I think a couple hundred now of different teachings that are on the website. So take a peek at it. And another thing that you may want to do, if there was something that ministered to you, you may want to share it with a friend through social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or send it as an attachment or a messenger. So I'm going to open the mic up so that we can hear from Minister James Gary, and I will turn everything over to him. I'm really excited to get into this teaching this evening. Minister Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Amen. Yes, I am. Good evening.
Amen. Thank you for being here, you and your lovely wife. I want to hear her voice tonight, too.
she's probably on, but she's being shy as usual.
I know that.
But God is working.
I'm shy, too. John has me talking tonight.
See, I'm gonna have to learn from him.
Right. So I turn the mic over to you. We look forward to your teaching. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Glad to be here and just say welcome to all of the past listeners and the future listeners, and to all who love to hear about what our Lord is doing in this time and in this season in our lives. So I just want to open up in prayer, and with every eye closed and every head bowed, we'll say, Dear Jehovah Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we just thank you for this opportunity to speak your words to your children, Lord God. To those that don't know you, Lord God, we ask that you will touch them, that you will open their eyes and their ears and their hearts, Lord, that they may be able to understand the depth and the width and just the height of the love that you have for each and every one of those that you created. And Father God, right now, I just ask that your words will be my words and my words will be your words, that you will bless every person and any questions that they have, that they will come up, and Lord, that you will provide the answer. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, tonight, and we just bless all who will listen to this ministry, past, future, and present, Lord. And Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to continue on. Last week we covered key number 4. And again, each one of these teachings is a key. And as you know, you cannot go through life without having keys to something. But the keys that we give you are not the keys to just anything. They're the keys to life. So, and they're gifts that are hidden for you, not from you, by the Father, and being presented to you tonight from Him through His through those that He set up as His teachers to come to you in this such a time as this in this day. So we move on from growing through God's Word, which we covered last week, to pleasing God through a holy life. Now, I'd like to just start off with life principle number 5. Okay? And life principle number 5 says, I can walk in victory over sin and in the joy of my salvation when I seek to become more like Christ in all that I do. In all that I do. And a key verse that I want you to listen to is this. This 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. And it says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Amen. Amen. So this key verse unlocks a lot of things for us. In fact, I'm going to go over about 6 key topics that that cover things in your life that you may be going through, or things that will happen in your life in the future, and you may need something to hold on to, and nothing better to hold on than the Word of God. So I like to say that it's important to understand that nothing breaks the heart of God more than a rebellious child. Nothing breaks the heart of a parent more than a rebellious child. So when rebellion comes in the heart of one of God's children, it actually hurts God's heart. And there is absolutely no question that our Savior Jesus Christ is more merciful. And he is so merciful that he has not treated us as our sin deserves.
Amen.
And this is what we call grace. This is what we call grace. When God does not treat us as our sins deserve. This is such a merciful thing that he does for us. But with this being said, we can't take advantage of him. We must never think that we can take advantage of his love. And by taking advantage, what I mean by that is by hiding sin from him, thinking that he would not know if you hide it. Or if you are hurting a person in your life, hiding it and not confessing it, you know, you're not just sinning against the person. Remember, you're also sinning against God. Because when God wants to bless you, he will send a person in your life. And so we are to accept every good and perfect gift from our Father with thanksgiving. So we must not treat him with contempt, and we must not think that we can take advantage of God's grace or his love for us. And the other thing that I wanted to overcome tonight is the fact that Jesus, he loves us too much to let us stay in a place of self-deception, which essentially is what we call bondage to sin. See, you can't will your way out of things. You have to be truthful and honest with God in all aspects of your life. You have to be true to him with your finances. You have to be true to him with your relationships. And you have to be true to him with all the works that you're doing. Because remember, he prepared these works for you before the foundations of the earth for you to complete. And I just wanted to just say that we must always praise God because he is actually he's the one that made the way for us, not only to be forgiven, which is such as when we first received His grace, but also to continue to live apart from sin now that we belong to Him. So, in order to better understand this lesson, this fifth lesson, and this fifth key, and the key verse that I mentioned, I'd just like to walk you through six key topics. And the first one is this. It is pretty much what it means to be right. What does it mean to be right in the sight of God? What does it mean to be right in the sight of God? Now, righteousness is not possible through our own works. That is, in other words, doing good things in order to prove to someone that you're a good person. And this is especially true when it comes to God. You can't work your way to heaven. However, God has prepared the way for you. And the work should be evidence of your faith in Him. But it's not something that we work towards. That it's not the work that's the focus. It's the Lord that is the focus. And He prepares those works for us. And the Bible is very clear that we are found righteous, or what we call justified, by our faith in the person and accomplishments of Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. So it's not through our own actions, not through our own works, not through anything that we could have done on our own. In fact, even our decision to accept Christ into our life was because God called us. It wasn't just our own works. God had a very intricate part in our situations, in our relationships, in every part that led us to Him. Because our Lord doesn't waste anything. And another important note is to know that without the holy presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives, who is the Son of God, we can never be accepted before the Father. We cannot be accepted by the Father. But once we are saved, here's the good news. Once we are saved by faith, we are empowered. We are then empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in such a way that it pleases God, and it enables us to produce what we call good fruit. Good fruit comes through our words, good fruit comes through our actions, and good fruit comes through our attitudes. So in other words, what it all boils down to is holiness is a matter of the heart. And it finds its expression in our very daily choices that we make. So by every choice that we make, to do something, to not do something, to do something a certain way and not do it another way, it all shows what's in our heart. And this is what we call the fruit of our lives. Now, I like to just, everything that we teach here, we like to back up with Scripture. And we like you to always know that God is a merciful God, but He also is a perfect God. He's also a perfect God. So I'd like for us to first read Romans 3:20. And it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. We become conscious of our sins. So the very word of God was set up. The very law of God, law of Moses, was set up so that we could see that we could not follow the law on our own, in our own strength. We needed a Savior, and that's the whole purpose of the Mosaic Law, was to show us that we needed a Savior who is Jesus Christ. So the beautiful thing about the Old Testament and the New Testament is that they come together and they just express the true heart of God. Because his true heart was for us to come to know him, for us to seek his face in all that we do, and for us to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. So that was one of the key purposes for the law, is to show us that, hey, and it talks about it in Romans 7 and Romans 8, how much you don't want to sin, and you say, oh, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to eat this piece of chocolate because the doctor said it's going to cause me to gain weight, or it's not good for me. And the more you keep saying that to yourself, the more you want to eat that chocolate. And it's something about the law that does that to us. The very thing that a parent even tells a child, don't do this because it will hurt you. That's the very thing you want to do as a child. So, in fact, the law is, what God's telling us not to do something in his law, he's telling us not to hurt ourselves, is essentially what he's telling us. So it is something that that we should always take sight of and always take notice to, that the law was designed to show us that we needed a Savior. We need Jesus every day of our lives. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And then I'll also read Romans 6:22. And again, I'm reading from the NIV version for all of the chapters of this teaching or sections of this teaching. And Romans 6:22 NIV says this. It says, now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. The result is eternal life. Amen. And that's our ultimate goal, is to have that eternal life. And then I also like to read Romans 10, verses 3 through 4. And it says, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. See, we don't want to walk around being self-righteous, because self-righteous leads to pride. And the Bible teaches us that pride always comes before the fall. So we don't want to walk around as self-righteous people, but we want to clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And when we do so, we're always submitting our lives, submitting our situations, submitting our decisions, submitting our efforts, submitting our ways to the Lord before we even move on something. And that could be that's everything, whether it's a financial decision, so we submit our finances to the Lord. And we come under the covering of his righteousness, of his holiness, so that we're not caught up into that thing that the enemy wants us to do, which is to get involved in the pride of life. So that is the beauty of God's and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us, that we now can come through him and come under his covering. And also Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. And that says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, but we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God prepared all the works and all the things that we're doing in advance. As long as we are doing those things that are his work and not our own personal desires to do ungodly things. But as long as we're submitting ourselves to him and we're submitting our works to him, it's like we're getting his blessing in everything that we do. And even if we make errors and we make mistakes, we can always come back to Him, because He will welcome us with open arms, and He will show us the better way to do things. And that's the beauty of our Lord. That's the beauty of our Lord and Savior. So I got a little bit ahead of myself here, because it's just something about the works that even when we work in the ministry, you see, even the service that we give in our churches, the services that we do and perform in our jobs and in the community, these things are not our own. See, these are not things for us to hoard and say, mine, give me another title, mine, give me another badge, mine. These things that we do are to always be for the glory of God. To be for the glory of God. And so it's impossible to please God through our works. And also, it is impossible to please God when we are not under His covering and we move with a prideful heart. And we move with a prideful heart. So, now, again, this is no condemnation for any listener, any person. Because, see, there's no condemnation in Christ.
Amen.
See, the Lord will forgive you if you just submit it to Him. So, if this is convicting you, all the Lord and the Holy Spirit is saying to you is, hey, son, hey, daughter, bring this to me, bring this to me, bring this to me, and allow me to bless your works, allow me to bless your life. And then through these things, again, we're brought back into the righteousness of Christ and being in the right place with Christ. I want to talk a little bit now about about righteousness and being right in the sight of God here. See, the Bible uses words such as sanctified and holy. And when we see these words together, these words basically mean, along with sanctification and holiness, that's another way of saying it. Is that it's about being pure or set apart. Set apart, what does it mean set apart from? Set apart or separated from sin and then separated unto God. So that's what we need to constantly work on doing in our lives. And as we do that, we will see that we have more and more interactions with the Holy Spirit. We will see blockages being removed. When we pray, our prayers will not hit an iron ceiling. Our prayers would not just falter and bounce off the walls without being heard by God. And this even comes down to our relationships with our spouses, for those that are married out there. If we're not in right standing with our spouses, and if as a husband you do not treat your wife well, that will cause your prayers to be separated from God, because He will not hear you. He says, leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled. Go and be reconciled. So we must, again, separate ourselves from sin, that's sinful ways, that's sinful lifestyle, and then separate ourselves unto God. And again, we're coming, when we're doing this, we're coming under the covering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's, as a woman, a wife, that's what a wife does. She comes under the covering of her husband, who is under the covering of Christ, who Christ is under the covering of our Lord, our Father, God. You see, it's a beautiful, beautiful connection that the Lord wants to have with us. So this is it's just a wonderful place to be, and that place is in the favor of God. However, that to be in that place is only possible through the finished work or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So what does that mean? So what that means is that when we receive Jesus Christ in our life and we're born again, our old life or sinful nature, sinful life, pretty much we're putting that to death and replacing that with the righteousness of Christ. So in the spiritual way, what's happening is the righteousness of Jesus has been put or charged to our account. It's been charged to our account. But it is not like someone taking your credit card and charging something and it goes onto your account and you owe them later. No, this is more of a credit. It's more of a credit being charged to your account. So a credit is given to our heavenly account because we're coming in through the perfect life of Jesus and we're coming to the Father and who's in heaven. And he accepts us and then he calls us his child. Because he, when he looks at us, he sees Jesus.
Amen.
Any questions about that? Any comments?
Any questions?
Amen, amen. So what I'll do is I'll read a few more verses here.
We have one comment.
Oh, sure.
It's really important in our relationship with God that we examine ourselves and prove ourselves to be worthy and to, as far as righteousness is concerned, anyway, by righteousness, how are you handling the application of God's words and to your own life, work, your spouse, your family, friends, just how you handle things in general, but doing God's will, not your own.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be connected to God's word and the Bible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I see.
We're going to face the challenges to constantly test it.
Yes, I see. I see what you're saying. Definitely, I see what you're saying. See, the thing is that, our God is a God of relations, of relationships. He desires relationships with a relationship with us, just as we desire a relationship with our children. You see, we were created in His image, and that same image, it affects our behavior and our desires. See, what we want to do is align God's will with our will, and our will, we want to align our will, actually, we want to align our will with God's will and ask Him to make His will our will, so that we are completely, every step that we take, we're walking together in unison with Him. See, our bodies are the temple, and He dwells in us. When we accept Him, He dwells in us. He dwells with us. And those things that are difficult, that are hard, things such as forgiveness, that it's virtually impossible to do unless you have a relationship with the Father, and He shows you how to do it. You know, these things are impossible without our Lord, impossible without Christ to truly, truly achieve. And there's a teaching that I did on that. You may remember Suzanne a while back on that, but it's truly, truly God's will that we have a relationship with Him, that we separate ourselves from sin, and that we walk as Jesus walked. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1:30, and that says, "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." That's a very deep scripture. I'm going to read it just again for you. It says, "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." See, if Christ lives in us, then the wisdom that we need is in us. We just have to tap into it. When we tap into the Lord, we tap into His wisdom, His storehouse of wisdom. That's why He tells us to ask. If anyone does not have wisdom, to ask, and He will give it. and give it abundantly and without judgment.
May I read the Living Version?
Sure.
Okay. In the Living Bible, it says, for First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, for it is from God alone that you have your life through Christ Jesus. He showed us God's plan of salvation. He was the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy and gave himself to purchase our salvation.
Amen. Amen. So this Christ, that is our righteousness, he's our holiness, and he is our redemption. He is our Savior.
Okay.
And he is the bridge that makes it possible for us to come to the Father directly. See, in the Old Testament, the priests could not, the people could not go directly to God, into the Holy of Holies. The priests actually had to go into the Holy of Holies. And in fact, what they did was they tied like a chain around his ankle. And somebody on the outside just held on to that chain and with a little bell on it. And so when he went into that Holy of Holies, if there was any sin in him, he could not stand in the presence of God. He would be struck down and be killed. So they would listen intently as the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer up the prayers for the people's sins. And they would listen for that bell. If they didn't hear that bell, they were disturbed, and they would just pull that chain and drag him out. See, and that was the way that life was back then. But see, when Jesus was crucified and he was born again, he tore that veil. He tore that veil, so no longer do we have to go through a priest in order to go and be with the Father into that holy place. We can do it directly because of the fact that we're entering through the righteousness of Christ.
I have a comment.
Sure.
You perfect. I received that revelation. It answers Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We get Christ's righteousness when we get saved.
Mm-hmm. And all of these things will be added to you. Most people stop at seek ye first the kingdom of God. But the part that they miss and the reason that they're not really walking in it is it says seek ye first the kingdom of God. And after that it says in all of his righteousness. And then these things will be added unto you.
Hallelujah.
And how do we seek his righteousness? By going, we're seeking Christ and acknowledging what he did for us. And when we rightfully taking our place, rightly being seated in heavenly places, as the Bible tells us, in a spiritual realm, and that's how we come. We come under the covering of the righteousness of Christ, under his holiness and under his redemption.
Don't hear many people saying that we have his righteousness.
Oh, it's a gift. It is a gift.
Again,
we have his wisdom. And what does that mean? That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. All of those things come from him.
Yes. Yes.
And then I'll also Hebrews. Oh, go ahead.
That's like I generally tell people when they get their husband, they get more than a man. They get a provider. They get someone who care for them. And when we get Jesus, we get more than salvation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
We get all that we need. We get all that we need. And that's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want, because when you're in him, you have all that you need. And then also read Hebrews 10:10 through 14. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. It says, by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, day after day, priest priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. See, the Bible tells us that because of one man's sin, who was Adam, sin entered into the world. But see, God had a beautiful plan. See, because by one man, who was the Christ, redemption came to the whole world and all mankind.
Mm.
See, it's one for one. It's one for one. And God did it all so that we could enter in that holy place. We can enter that relationship. We could all have sonship through Christ Jesus, because he sees us through the eyes of his beloved Son. And I also read 1 Peter 1:2, which says, "Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Grace and peace be yours in abundance. And I'll jump down a little bit further and to verse 15 and 16. And it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." So again, how do we get that holiness? By submitting those our desires, by just submitting those things that we're going to do, those things that we want to do, to the Lord before we do them. Or praying on it, praying to the Lord about it before we do it. And asking him to move your feet, to ask him to lead you in the ways of righteousness, and to read the word and study the word so that you will know the ways of righteousness. And then you can tell when you're off of that road. That's the beauty that our Lord has for us. Now, I covered two topics with that. I felt that they were very closely related. So I covered actually points one and two that I wanted to cover here without cutting out anything. And just wanted to make sure I got that. So here we learned what it means to be right in the sight of God, and we also learned about the impossibility of pleasing God through works. See, we cannot work our way, even if it's through ministry, we cannot work our way to Christ. The work is already finished. See, the battle is already finished. We can read Revelations. The battle was already won. So we work from a place of victory, and we work from a place of truth. And when we do these two things, they line up, and they make our lives come into alignment with the Lord. So our next topic is sanctification, and actually the two sides of sanctification in respect to the relationship, to the believer. On one hand, sanctification is instantaneous. What do we mean by that? What I mean by that is that it takes place at the moment of salvation, the moment we accept the Lord. We instantaneously have sanctification. However, or I should even go further before I say however. I say, so in other words, when we accepted Jesus by faith, we were immediately positioned in Christ. So we were positioned in a place in Christ. And that was through his finished work. And we're considered to be holy because of his work. And because we're under his covering, the covering of his work. And that is truly, truly the basis for our eternal life that is already set up for us. And when I say however, I say however, but God sees how we're living as well from day to day. He's looking at our lives and what we're doing, the choices that we're making. So in other words, the second side of sanctification, it involves what we call the progressive work of the Holy Spirit throughout our entire life. So in other words, even though we're locationally in Christ, we still have to learn how to be like Christ. So even though we're in Christ, we have to learn how to be like Christ. So in other words, when we get baptized and we're born again and we put that old man down, we bury them just like you bury a person, you bury that person is dead, that old way of life is dead, and we come out as a new creation. The enemy will try, and this is why baptism is so important, and we'll get into that on topic probably in the next couple of weeks, but that's why it's so important, because the enemy will try and remind you of the things you used to do. But see, when we're in Christ, we can say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm a new creation in Christ."
Amen.
And that's again, the basis of our holiness is because of what Christ did for us. So, but progressively, meaning day to day, we have to live in the proximity of with the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life to dwell in us and on us, so that we can do the work that was set for us. See, in other words, the reason why we call it progressive work is that even as a believer, we still can be tempted, and we can still sin. So it's vitally important that we each respond in obedience to the strength, what we call the strength that God has promised to give us every single day of our lives. And through the process of sanctification, as we make those, we basically consider it this way, making good choices in everything that you do. If you're going to buy a new couch for your house, check out the specifications, check out the quality, check out the workmanship. Present it to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I want to get this for my house." He is the provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. That's one of his names, our provider. So he will provide the finances for you, but it is our responsibility to make those good choices. So with each decision that we make through our lives, the easiest way to do it is to involve him, involve the Lord in our lives. And so that when as we go through this process that we call sanctification, or the second side of sanctification, as we go on, move forward, and we gain more years in our lives, we start to become more and more and look more and more like Christ. And that's through our thoughts, our actions. They both of these things become more disciplined, and it becomes a lot easier to submit to the will of God. A lot easier to submit to the will of God. So with that, I'd like to read another scripture to you, or for you, and that will be 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 11, and it reads, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God." By the Spirit of our God. See, we were sinners. We did make mistakes. We did do things that were wrong. We did hurt people, or have been hurt by people. But we were washed. How you say, as they say, but God. But we were washed. We were sanctified. And we were justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And that's 1 Corinthians 6:11. Another supporting scripture I'd like to present is Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. And that reads, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Again, being sanctified. That is the culmination of sanctification, is putting those things off, changing your mind about those things, putting down the pornography, running away from the temptation, staying out of bars, choosing the good things that God has prepared for you. Because again, when he says do not sin, he's saying don't hurt yourself. And all that we must do is look at Hollywood to know how true that is. And finally, it's 2 Timothy 2:21 through 22. And it says, "Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And when you call on the Lord out of a pure heart, it's a wonderful thing to hear, to see your promises answered, your prayers answered, and the promises of God falling into your lap. To see these things happen, you will gladly put these things off. And that's why it's written, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So those are the two parts of sanctification. So now I'm going to talk about God's part in cleansing us from sin. God's part in cleansing us from sin. And the Bible is very descriptive. It's very descriptive in demonstrating that God's part in cleansing us from sin. Actually, at the moment of our salvation, and since that day happens, it happens through what we call three primary provisions. And Scripture also shows that every believer has a part in the ongoing sanctification process by properly responding to these provisions. And see how God wants to partner with us on these things. He doesn't just want to do it. He could just do it for us, but he's not a genie. He's not in a bottle. We're not going to put him in a place of a box and keep him there. We're going to let God be God, and we're going to partner with him. How do we partner with him? First one is the blood of Jesus. God cleanses us from sin by the blood of Jesus, and we are able to partner with him. And that's Hebrews 13:12. And that reads, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." To make the people holy through his own blood. See, the people outside the gate, see, the way the temples were set up, you had the inner court, you had the outer court, and then you had the gates. And the people in the outer courts were like the not-so-holy people and, you know, the mostly the non-Jewish people. But the people outside the gates were considered outcasts, the outsiders. And Jesus actually went to the outer courts. He was actually crucified outside the city gates, so that he could cleanse those who were unclean. So that's what that talks about when we talk about the blood of Jesus. Also, the Holy Spirit. what house does God cleanse us from sin? He uses His Holy Spirit. And that's 2 Thessalonians 2, verses chapter 2, verse 13. And that reads, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." So the sanctification work of the Spirit, and then through our belief, our own belief, He works through our own belief in the truth of His Word. And finally, through he also cleanses us through the Word of God. And that's Ephesians 5:26, which reads this, and this is a good one for husbands, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. So the Word of God is like water, and it will wash and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And so we should pray over our wives. We should pray over our children. We should pray for one another so that we can be washed, and or they can be washed by the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And then finally here it says also Psalm 119 verses 9 through 11. It says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Again, David. Beloved, our beloved David. So, this is just a wonderful teaching. And I see that we're running low on time here. So we will probably have to pick up with just two additional points on this in our coming weeks. But I'd like to just open up the lines for any comments and questions.
Any comments or questions? Closing comments and questions. This was a beautiful teaching on Christian life.
Amen.
What our life
Amen.
Is supposed to be like, especially I want to hear more about the scriptures that you read from Colossians too. As we train up our people, and as we and even during these times that we have right now, these times where there are people that are calling themselves Christians. I shouldn't be judgmental like that. But to live a life of Christ, and I like what you said about being Christ-like. You can be in Christ, but if you have to be Christ-like, that has to come from you. That has to be the aura that comes from you as well.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's just, you know, in terms of judgment, don't ever be ashamed of inspecting, being a good fruit inspector, because we're called to inspect that fruit and identify things that are not fruitful. And it's, you know, we don't want to, you know, judge anyone, but we are to call out bad fruit. And again, and just when we do so, just remember what I mentioned about the sanctification process, that the sanctification process is real, and it happens over time. You know, the second part of it happens over time as we walk and become more and more like Christ. So, yeah, so don't feel bad about that at all. And I'd just like to bless all of the listeners. And next week we'll pick up on two additional points, and then we'll move to key number 6, which is relating to the family of God. And it's a biblical look at the church, communion, and water baptism. So, Father God, I'd just like to bless every person within the sound of my voice, Lord. Those, Lord God, that have questions in their hearts, Lord God. Those that, Lord God, that have been touched by this teaching, Lord God. We ask that you would not allow the enemy to steal a single morsel or word from their hearts, O Lord. Those that are on the fence, Lord God, that were convicted, Lord God, show them, Lord God, that you are a God of forgiveness and that you bless your children in every thing that you have set them up to do. And Lord, let them do it by your will in accordance with your plan. And we ask this, that you will bless them and keep them, that you will cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious unto them, and just lift up your countenance upon them and grant them peace. We thank you, Lord God, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See you next week, guys.
Thank you so much. Until we meet again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we are beginning. Thank you.
I can look beyond the stars
and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin.